Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying It's a New Day, a series on financial stewardship based on the Southern Baptist Convention seminar of the same name. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Who's in Control? God gave guidelines for handling money. The Bible contains more than 2,350 verses dealing with money and possessions. Jesus taught more about money than almost any other subject. He said so much about money and possessions for some important spiritual reasons and for some very practical reasons as well. Spiritual reasons: how you handle money affects the intimacy of your relationship with Christ. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? Our walk with Jesus is tied to how we manage His money. Money is a competitor with Jesus for lordship or control of our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God knows that we need wisdom in using money. He revealed principles in Scripture for working, earning, spending, saving, investing, giving, getting out of debt, and teaching how to handle money. The problem is when the church teaches about handling money, it is usually only about giving. Biblical principles of earning and spending are hardly ever taught to God's people. The result? Well, God's people have managed their money, which is actually God's money, from the world's perspective rather than God's. Believers have applied mostly the world's principles to their finances. Financial management, according to biblical principles, has to do with a relationship between the Christian and the Lord. It's a matter of stewardship, and both parties have responsibilities regarding the money involved. First, God's responsibilities in the relationship. He's the owner of everything. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." God owns all the silver and gold. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." God owns all the land. Leviticus 25, verse 23, the first part of it, "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine." God owns all the animals. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness." Why does everything belong to God? He created all things. And He never transferred His ownership to us. God owns our possessions. So He's the owner of everything, and He controls everything. Psalm 135, verse 6, first part of it, "Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and in earth." God is in control of every event. He uses everything, even difficult circumstances, for His ultimate good. That's the essence of Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. This is clearly illustrated in the life of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. Joseph told his brothers in Genesis 45, in verse 5, and then a little bit later on in verse 8, and then at the end of Genesis in chapter 50 and verse 20, he said, "Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. It was not you who sent me here, but God. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." And He's provider of everything. Genesis 22, verse 14. "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.'" Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God is the same time both predictable and unpredictable. He's predictable in His faithfulness to provide. He's unpredictable in how He will provide. The same Lord, listen, the same Lord who fed manna to the children of Israel during their 40 years of wandering through the wilderness has promised to provide for our needs. The same Lord who ordered the ravens to feed Elijah by bringing him bread and meat in the morning and evening has promised to provide for our needs. The same Lord who fed 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish has promised to provide for our needs. Those are God's responsibilities. Well, then there's our responsibilities in the relationship. We are stewards of God's possessions. A steward, understand, a steward is the manager of someone else's possessions, not their own. We are to be faithful with God's possessions. God owns all we have, and He has given us the responsibility to manage it faithfully, according to the financial principles Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Not only are we to be faithful stewards of the 10% tithe that we give, but also of the other 90% we continue to manage. All we have is the Lord's, and we're to manage it in a way that is pleasing to Him. We're to be faithful in little things. If we're faithful with small things, God can trust us with greater responsibilities. We must not spend money in ways that we know would displease Him, because that would make us unfaithful stewards. We benefit from faithfulness with God's possessions. We grow closer to Jesus. John 14:21. "When we're faithful to obey and serve the Lord, we grow in our love for Him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We develop godly character. God uses money to reveal and develop our character. How we handle money is an outside indicator of our true spiritual condition. You can tell a lot about the character of people by examining how they manage money. We begin to have financial stability. As we apply God's principles to our finances, we will begin to spend more wisely, start saving for the future, and give more to the work of Christ. Let me tell you, beware of extreme teachings on wealth and poverty. One extreme is that godliness only occurs in poverty. Money and possessions can be used for good or evil. Some godly people in Scripture were the wealthiest people of their day. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. See, I've set before you today life and death, life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. The Bible does not say a godly person must live in poverty. A godly person may have material resources. The opposite extreme is that all Christians who truly have faith will always prosper financially. This is also an error. The guideline for prosperity is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This passage reveals two requirements for prosperity. Number one, meditate on the Scriptures. Meditate is more than reading. It's more than studying. Meditating is to read it and then to think about it in the course of life. To just give thought and how it may apply and let God convict you in it and be obedient. So, two requirements for prosperity. Meditate on the Scriptures, and second, do everything commanded. When you fulfill these, you prepare yourself for financial prosperity from God. There's no guarantee that God will choose financial prosperity for you. He knows what is best for you and requires that you trust Him for whatever He chooses. Let me call you and encourage you to commit to apply biblical principles to your financial management behavior. You have a great day.